This is cassette number 2 of a message by David Ebal entitled The Dome of the Rock.
Solomon's Temple now is up, and in just a few years now, we have the kings coming in to destroy Solomon's Temple. And Solomon's Temple is now thrown to the ground, and it's all completely ruined. And after that, Ezra came back, and he wanted to build a temple. And where did he pick to build his temple? The same place, the same rock. Then, in the book of Ezra, Nehemiah, it gives the description of the building of Ezra's temple. I don't think I'll go into that in great detail, except to say that when Ezra built his temple, he built it on this rock, and it became the foundation stone for Herod's temple. And Herod then filled out Ezra's temple and built what we call Herod's temple. Now, the reason Herod's temple is important is that this was standing at the time of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus went to the temple, he didn't go to Ezra's temple, and he didn't go to Solomon's temple. He went to Herod's temple. But it was on the same spot, and it was built on the same foundation stones. Now, can you see that every one of the Jewish temples, can I call them churches for the lack of a, do you mind for a minute there? These buildings, we know that the church is really us, but because of our minds, we'll say it that way. That it's built, they're all built on this rock. Now, we won't take the time, but in Matthew 7:24, this is what Jesus began to say. Now, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. Now, you see, Jesus is thinking about building a house or a temple or a church on a rock. Now, the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Then a foolish man, he hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them. I liken him to a foolish man that builds his house upon the sand. Now, watch what's happening. Solomon, first Abraham, using this as an altar. The altar became later on a threshing floor and a barn for wheat. Later on, it was a place for Solomon's temple. Later on, it was a place for Ezra's temple. Later on, Herod built his temple there. And Jesus began to talk about building upon rocks. But he's talking now about hearing these what? Sayings of mine and doing them. Now, I think that this next scripture is an extremely important one because it will tie in what Jesus was talking about. Matthew 16, what was in his mind when he put this all together? Matthew 16, what was the mind of the Lord, and why are we looking at this rock this way? In 16, I guess we ought to start with verse 13. I'll start reading. In Matthew 16, verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, what did he say? Praise God. There's your answer right there. Thou art the Anointed One. You, Jesus, are the Anointed One, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So you got to be born of the Spirit. The Father sends the Spirit. You don't get this by teaching, and it's been on the radio, and everybody's heard it, and yet flesh and blood didn't reveal it. It takes the Holy Spirit to reveal this. I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now watch. All the other churches have been built on what? This limestone rock. Peter, I'm going to build my church on another rock. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Only the Father can make you say that. Only the Heavenly Father can give you this confession. And if you can confess, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, he builds his church on that rock. Because now we're moving not from worship in a geographical location, but to a worship throughout the whole world. For Jesus began to teach that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in what?
Spirit.
Why did he say that? The girl, the woman, had just said, you Jews say to worship at this rock. Our fathers say to worship at this other rock. And Jesus said, uh-uh. The time is coming and now is when you worship God, you don't worship him at this rock or that rock. You can worship him in China or the British Isles or anywhere. For God is a spirit, and you worship him in spirit, not in rocks. Not on rocks. Do you see this now? And upon this, what? Rock. Well, I build my church. Thou art the anointed one, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that testimony is going to be as lively stones throughout the whole earth. And God sets in these lively stones on this rock, not this natural rock, but this natural rock being a symbol of a spiritual rock. When Peter made the first confession, thou art the Christ, then Peter began very instant rocks. Don't you remember? His name was Rock. And he began to talk about lively stones. It was Peter that was talking about the lively stones. And he understood this. And he said, all the rest of you who will make this confession, we come lively stones built into this same building that's going up as God builds himself a house. Now God allowed Solomon to build him a house. But God is building himself a house with a confession. What is the confession? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Say it with your mouth. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And flesh and blood just can't reveal that to you. Only the Father which is in heaven. And now you are a lively stone. Now you're built into the building that he is building. A supernatural building. Now, we have to have types and shadows. How many know that all these things are types and shadows? The Old Testament, rocks, and all these kind of things. We don't worship this rock, but it sure is a neat place to go to pray. Especially to give the confession, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And some of us got the opportunity of going down those steps and standing in under the cave in the cleft of the rock. And if you see the picture of the little guy there, he's got his hands raised up. Because he's acting like those priests did in the Old Testament, or he's acting like the 120 did in the New Testament. Now he's not being fanatical. He's just following the pattern that's already set. And he's praising the Lord. And quite several of us were down there just doing it. Looked just like that guy. In fact, that might be a picture of one of us. Hallelujah. As we gave the testimony again, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This time, we were under the altar. And I saw under the golden altar. This is a golden altar. Golden Dome of the Rock. The souls of them that were beheaded for the testimony that they held. And they cried, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not avenge our blood upon them that are on the earth? And white robes were given unto them, and it was said unto them, Shut up. I mean, I just paraphrase, but that's what it says. You take these white robes and be quiet. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. He's not in a hurry to bring His wrath upon and avenge your blood. He is trying to get everybody saved. So, you just take these white robes and wait until all the rest should be killed as you were. If you don't lose your head tonight, symbolically, you may lose it literally. Let me say that again. If you don't die, you can't live. If you don't become beheaded for Christ, look, what's beheaded? Having the soul changed, receiving with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to change your soul, change your mind, cut it off. The old man, I die daily, buried with him in baptism. See, a lot of death has to take place. This is a good place to die. This is the fifth seal, Revelation chapter 6, verse 8. The fifth seal. But listen, in Revelation chapter 14, the fifth angel is the angel that brings the wheat into the barn. The fifth angel, Revelation 14, brings the wheat into the barn. So here in one rock, we have again a geographic picture that the fifth seal is the same thing as the fifth angel. The wheat in the cave, that's your chapter 14 or your chapter 6, or the souls of them that are under this golden altar. It's called a golden altar. You see? But it's symbolic now, nothing literal. You don't have to literally walk there because Jesus said, now that's not what I'm talking about. I'm building my church on a confession. On the words, on the confession, not a literal piece of limestone. And yet, that piece of limestone sure is neat because it confirms all these others and is a symbol for all these other truths. And here again, it shows that the key to the book of Revelation is correct. The fifth seal is the same thing as the fifth angel. For both symbols are brought together right here in that piece of stone. Okay. Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, I will build my church upon a new kind of rock. And the church then started out. Peter obviously was the first stone to be placed in this marvelous, marvelous building that is now extending over the whole world. And truthfully is over the whole world. Now, in Romans, I don't think I'll go into this in great detail because I want to get to this stone filling the whole earth. In Romans 9, 31 through 33, don't turn to it, just listen to a minute. This calls Jesus the rock of offense. And it says he's a stone of stumbling, he's a rock of offense. Yet, we also know that the testimony, our testimony, is a rock or a lively stone that's built and builds a giant church. Yet we know that the church is not made out of stones and mortar, but it's made out of what?
People,
us guys. Well, he can't be talking about a literal building. He's got to be talking about a building that's supernatural, and he uses you and me as the building stones. Now, the rock of offense, to some of the people, how many know that even the builders are stumbling over the anointed Yahshua? Now you think for just a minute. Who are the builders? Say it. So the hierarchy. And what stumbles the hierarchy? The Christ, which is the Spirit, the anointing. Thou art the what?
Christ.
Christ, the anointed. Now, if the hierarchy could believe that Jesus is the anointed, and the anointing then passes on to lively stones, then that hierarchy could hear some of the testimonies of the lively stones. But they tell me that some of the hierarchy is more interested in how many degrees you have, or some other stumbling thing, than they are in the anointing. But that's the thing that makes a stone alive. Can't you see it? Thou art the what?
Christ.
Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, Peter, not only that, but here's the keys. And what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then Peter came along and he said, this is that was spoken by the prophet. That way he opened that door that day to the understanding of the people and loosed them in the understanding of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, don't you see? Peter is the apostle of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit, Pentecost is synonymous with Christ. The word Christ is anointing. That's Pentecost. It's the same Holy Spirit. It's the same thing. And we find Peter connected with all these stories, for he's got the key, the anointing. And you know that he was anointed. I'll tell you, he did some things. You'd have to be anointed. Somebody, I want to ask you a question. Did Peter walk on the water or did he sink? Well, if you ask a pessimist, he says he sunk. If you ask an optimist, he says he walked. And then we got the literalist, and he knows both. All right. Now look at it. With your eye on Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and the anointing, there's absolutely nothing that can stop you. There is nothing that can stop you. There is no sickness, no poverty, no disease. Nothing can stop you. And I want you to see, though this is a Christmas lesson tonight, I want to move the baby now into a powerful anointed one. Though the anointing was there back then, I want to move our minds from the thought of a baby to one who is a builder. And he's building a church. And what's he build it with? Us guys. Here we are, the living stones. And he sets us into that church. This is the real, true body of Christ. This is the real, true church of the living God. The church that Jesus is building. And how do you become a lively stone? With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And did Peter make the confession? What did he say? Thou art the Christ. And that started the whole thing. And Jesus then had a stone to put in it. And he even gave him his name, Stone. Petros, or little stone, little rock, in order to put him on the big things. Alright? Now, we're building on the solid rock. The rock is what? Well, wait a minute. Not that one, but the other one. Jesus. We start with Jesus, then we put Peter on it, and then we just keep building more and more rocks. You got the idea? As this thing builds up.
I said Petra, not Petra.
That's right. All right. So, we're talking about building on levels of masonry as it goes up and up and up and up and up, as this great building is coming up. Now, we've already covered the scripture in Romans that he was the rock of offense. To some people, he's an offense, but to us, he's a blessing. And the most upsetting thing is, it's the builders that get stumbled by the rock of offense. And that's so sad. It's the builders. It's the hierarchy. It's still the same as it ever was. It's the Pharisees. The ecclesiastical hierarchy that just can't get with it. They can get with the programs, but they can't get with the anointing. Thou art the anointed one. Thou art the Christ. The word Christ means anointed. And that's so important that we follow the anointing. We follow the Christ, not the program, not the structure. Okay. In 1 Corinthians 10:4, don't turn to it, just listen because I want to get on to Daniel. We find the spiritual rock was Christ. This rock followed them wherever he went. In Exodus 17:6, we find that Moses spoke to the rock. Well, first he hit the rock, and the water came out. But in Numbers 20, verse 11, he was told to speak to the rock, and he hit it twice, and the water came out again. In Psalm 78:15, we find that rock followed them throughout the whole wilderness journey or experience. The water was the symbol for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that brings the life to the people. It's always a symbol there. And Jesus is that rock. How many know that the rock was a symbol for Jesus?
Amen.
It tells you that in the New Testament. Now we'll go on. Daniel, let's go to Daniel, please. If we hurry, we can get this done in time. Daniel chapter 2, verse 34. Oh, hallelujah. Boy, this is a section I like in this prophecy. Thou sawest till that a stone, there it is again, was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were iron and clay. You remember the image? Head of gold, silver arms, brass torso, iron legs, feet, iron and clay. Okay. And when the iron, then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold, broken to pieces together. And it became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain. And then the mountain filled the whole earth. Now, what is that stone? Who is that stone that was cut without hands? What's his name? Jesus Christ. And what did he do? He came down and he said, they said, are you a king? And he says, thou sayest, but my kingdom is not of this world. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. My kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. And he came down and he crushed all of mammon and the natural kingdoms. And he says, now you're subject to the spiritual kingdom. Then, as lively stones, as these stones, if you'll excuse it, these rockheads, began to get the life, we became not rockheads, but lively stones. Anointed by the Holy Spirit, our confession was made. Thus, we began to build on that first rock. And that rock became bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until it became a giant mountain. And finally, the rock fills the what? Whole earth. Oh, hallelujah. That makes me feel religious. Oh, praise God. This is predestined to take over all the kingdoms of this earth. And the spiritual kingdom will then be the leading influence in the whole earth. Verse 44. and the days of these kings, and in the days of these kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. And I saw thrones, and judgment was given unto them, and they ruled and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Keep going to chapter 7 before I get raptured. Chapter 7. Hurry up. Well, I'd be the first one to be happy if I was wrong about that rapture thing. But anyway, verse 17 now. These great beasts, which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Oh, man. I just have to say, for the Lord is good. For His mercy endureth forever. Verse 22. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Judgment was given to them, and I saw thrones, and judgment was given unto them, and they ruled and reigned. Is this making sense now? Daniel and Revelation? All right. Let's go on here. Verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, that's what it says. And I believe it, and that sells it.
For the concluding part of this message by David E. Ball, entitled The Dome of the Rock, please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.